Today on Seculo, a nightmare scenario emerges as reports that Republicans and Democrats, at least some of them, are teaming up to find a Speaker of the House. We'll talk about that and more today on Seculo.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
The Daily Beast has it, Republicans and Democrats quietly consider a speaker deal. It doesn't name a lot of names. I'm not saying this is, by the way, Kevin McCarthy. He's been against this. But others who have said, you know what, if Kevin McCarthy can't get the votes and there's not really a secondary, we've now heard that a lot of that group of 20 wouldn't be so satisfied with Steve Scalise necessarily anyways. There is breaking news also that I want to get to right away, and that is that last night there was a report that they had come to a deal that may bring up to 10 or 11 votes over to Kevin McCarthy today, which would, I think, start maybe a break in the dam. Then,
maybe
just before we went on air, more breaking news, the deal never got finalized. So
they were not able to get it from where they were to where they wanted it to be, to put it basically that this was going to be the deal.
So we're moments away from ballot 12 starting on the House floor. And we will know, like we know in these votes very quickly, if anybody has peeled off. But that was breaking news just before we came on the air.
It's interesting to me. And one of the, look, we don't want to see a nightmare scenario. And the longer this goes, the worse this gets. And it does look like chaos, which we said. And, you know, people saying, well, it's just a day or two. This is democracy in a constitutional republic. This is a republic in action. The problem is this. When you got the Daily Beast running a headline that, and I'm just going to read the headline. Because when we said this, people said, no, this could never happen. Republicans and Democrats quietly consider a speaker deal. And then you see these photo shots inside the House. And you got AOC meeting with, Matt Gaetz meeting with, folks, this could go in 100 wrong directions.
Hanging out with AOC?
Yeah. I mean, the problem is these things are legally possible.
Yeah. No, you don't have to have just Republican votes to get a speaker or just Democrat votes to get a speaker. You could have a group of Democrats and Republicans who say, I am sick and tired of this. And I've worked in countries where they've come up with these power sharing deals, where they'll say, okay, you get it for a year, and then we get it for a year. Or you get the speakership, we get half the committee chairs, or we get divided committees, like the Senate kind of was, like 50-50 committees, which would, again, hamper the entire Republican victory. This is why,
it's already hampering, as a warning to
all of you, why we've got to wrap this up. Because how absurd would it be that because these 20 rebels that we end up with a Republican majority in the House that had to give away its majority. I mean, that's what we're talking about. It's majority power. Now, I don't think that's going to happen tonight, but let me tell you something. They do another day of votes that don't change anything at all, where nothing changes at all, and we get to, 13 today before they adjourn? It's been about three a day.
I'm talking to people in the evenings that are dealing with this, and they're saying it could go into the 20s. Which you would now also, McCarthy wants to not have votes after this one, right? That was his idea, to adjourn. So, Will, do we have any update on the adjourning issue?
Don't know if he has the votes to do that.
Are they about to vote in? They'll vote today at least one time. Correct?
At least one, and McCarthy wants to adjourn for the at least till Tuesday.
And what do you think?
I think that adjournment vote will be very close, but I doubt the Democrats and
unless
some
they've
of those
got to get out of town.
There are more and more, remember, people who have plans, they got kids, they got families, they have weddings, funerals, doctor's appointments, things happen, and so they are human beings.
Yep.
So you wonder if they all say, okay, we need to take a weekend, do the phone calls, and come back next week. But I do think we're going to at least see one vote, which will tell us if there's been any shift. The indication has been last night that we were going to see a shift. Now, the indication, Dad, is that we are not.
Yeah, and that shift would have been a big deal, even if it was just 10, which would not have been enough. It would have been a momentum shift. If look, I still think it should be Kevin McCarthy because he's got vast 85% support, but the longer this goes, it's not getting better.
secular. We're taking your phone calls, too. We want you to weigh in, 1-800-684-3110. I did notice, too, in the chat, some people said I sounded biased by calling the 20 rebels. I want to just be very clear to you.
We represent most of them.
Of those 20 who have been in Congress, some are new,
yeah.
So we haven't represented them. But I donated to some of them to get to Congress. But the others, the 12 or 13 that have been on our briefs. We support them. We like them. We're friends. So I don't use rebels in a negative way.
No. That's they're kind of using that term.
I think that's what they are. I mean, I think that's kind of how they define themselves. So don't see it as bias. We're just trying to report facts as they exist and also, you know, where this goes as it continues on. I want to go right to Rick Rendell now. He's our senior advisor for foreign policy and national security, but he's all been in politics for his entire career as well. And Rick, one thing you pointed out, which is interesting, is that the D.C. media and mainstream media kind of embracing this idea that, can you believe these Republicans want more accountability and they want more power given to these members of the House of Representatives so that it's not just five or six people that pass millions and millions of dollars worth of legislation and your congressman never has a say on it. And the D.C. media thinks that's great.
You know, we should do a whole show sometime on why I torture myself by watching CNN for an hour every once in a while.
Do the same thing.
It's crazy. But this morning I was watching and they literally had all voices, not a single dissenting voice, all voices from the media, some, you know, serious media people from Axios and from The Washington Post, literally mocking Republicans for having this process where the majority of regular congresspeople are going to have a stronger voice and there's going to be less power for the Speaker of the House. These reporters in D.C. want more power for one person, the Speaker of the House, to move forward. They're very accustomed to having Nancy Pelosi just gavel down and everybody follow. It's weird. It's weird that they're freaking out that somehow Republicans want a decentralized power system. That's what reporters are supposed to want as well. They're totally corrupt. The whole thing has been flipped on its side and they don't even realize it.
One thing that's got is interesting to me, Rick, as all this is going down, and that is I do think that, you know, a day or two or three of this was fine. I think a week or two of this is just not good. Again, not bad constitutionally, not bad for that's how a democracy, a constitutional republic works, but just, you know, bad for atmospherics. And you and I deal, and Jordan, we deal with atmospherics. The atmospherics are not good because it looks like chaos controls. So the question here is, I can't figure out, though, what the end game is for the 20 after he gives all these concessions. I mean, what else can he do? He steps aside. They're not going to be okay with Steve Scalise. I mean, that's the problem here.
Look, I think that we have to stop assuming that the 20 are literally all like-minded. I think they're like-minded right now on Kevin McCarthy. But many of them have policy differences. Many of them want to see balanced budget amendments. Many of them want to see substantive issues change. And then, you know, there is Matt Gaetz, who I like Matt. We're friends. And Matt has just said publicly, I'm just against Kevin. I don't want Kevin. So I do think that the 20 are a little bit different. And that's where Kevin has to, you know, Kevin McCarthy has to begin to maneuver. Can he peel away enough of those people on substantive issues? But I go back to this point that Kevin made that I hadn't thought about that I just saw in the clip that you all played, where he's saying, look, some of this fight we needed to get out. We need to figure out, you know, where we are as a caucus, and maybe having the fight now is going to save us having the fight on every single vote in the future and have some sort of chaos on votes. We're working ourselves out on the way of Republicans in the House, how they view legislation and how they view the priorities. So in essence, maybe some of this fight is good, but you're right on the optics. Certainly the media is pounding us, but you know, the media should be celebrating decentralized government and more power to the people.
And better ratings, you'd think. 1-800-684-3110 is the number, 800-684-3110. We want your opinion on all this, folks. Where do you see it going? What do you want to see happen? Let's go ahead and take a call.
Yeah, Ann calling from New Mexico online, too. Hey, Ann. Ann, looks like Ann dropped. You know, it's what... One thing that was interesting yesterday was a speech. I don't remember which congressman. It was one of the 20 who's opposed. But he talked about the unanimous consent and how that happens on Mondays. And usually it's names of post offices and things like that and buildings. But then it adds up to hundreds of millions of dollars that your member of Congress, Rick, never voted on. And that it's not so much that it's controversial in naming the post office after somebody who passed away who was a well-known figure in a community, but it's that there might be 90% of that legislation is done like that, but then there's 10% done by unanimous consent on Monday when no one's there, and that is substantive, and that the taxpayer is on the hook for paying. And that so I do think, and maybe Kevin McCarthy was referencing that too, we do need rule changes away from how the Democrats were governing.
Oh, for sure. Look, let me tell you a dirty little secret about unanimous consent on Mondays. It's because nobody's there. They're right. Still in their districts. And they want to move business along as quickly as they can and do things where we don't need everybody signing off. But they've abused it. They've abused the, instead of just doing simple administrative things on Monday that can move forward on unanimous consent, they're putting big budget spending issues through on unanimous consent. That should really make people angry about it. Look, I think that one of the things that Kevin's got to do is tell all offices to come back to work. This COVID is over. You got to come back.
I do agree.
You can't work from home. And why, if we're paying them a full salary, why are they not working full time Monday through Friday in Washington, D.C.? I'm all for making them work Fridays and Mondays. Certainly for the Senate, you know, we got to say you got to work Mondays, Tuesday morning and Thursday afternoon and Fridays. That should be a mandate, because right now they go into session on Tuesdays and they're done, you know, Thursday morning. And so no wonder we can't get a lot done. Because they're just working 2 days. I mean, look, my attitude is we either go to a part-time Congress and pay them part-time and make them only show up for 2 days every now and then, or if we're going to pay them for a full salary, then show up to work for a full time.
So we're about to have the 12th vote while we're on live, Rick. This will be vote number 12. Not likely, based on what we're seeing, that Kevin's going to have 218. The Democrats are, of course, total lockstep. They got their 212 down. You got this report coming out of Daily Beast, which I don't put a lot of credence in, but it is the nightmare scenario you worry about. We're not a coalition government country. That's not the way our republic is set up. But the headline, Republicans and Democrats quietly consider a speaker deal. The scary part about all this is it doesn't take much for that to happen. I mean, if people get worn out. So I worry about the worn out factor here. And I also start to worry about, in a week, governing, lack of governance. You got the Senate side. They're investigating things already on Republicans. The House is supposed to have Judiciary Committee with Jim Jordan in the chair, which I think will be fantastic. He wants to have investigations and oversight on China, on Hunter Biden, on some of the Biden administration pullout policies in Afghanistan, the border. Great. But none of that happens while we don't have anybody seated in the committees. And we're losing time.
Yeah, look, I don't put a lot of credence in the Daily Beast. They've become total mouthpiece of the left. But there is a chance that this could happen. I think it's very slim, and it would require Republicans to actually go along with electing, either a Democrat, a conservative Democrat, or a very liberal Republican. I think that those people that do that would immediately face backlash from their districts, even if their districts were kind of a 50-50 district. I don't think it's going to help them. I think it spells disaster. And we would know it as it's creeping forward. It's not going to come out of the blue.
Yeah, Rick, as always, we appreciate you joining us. We're going to keep you, because it looks like this is going into next week. I mean,
yeah.
There were reports last night that there was a deal on the table, and then by this morning, right before we came on air, the breaking news was that deal was not put together in a finalized form. So we'll know very soon. I mean, Rick, I guess I ask you real quickly, final thing. If Kevin McCarthy in one of these votes, and I think it would have to happen in probably this first one, or else they're all going to be the same, gets 5 or 6 peel-offs, do you think that is a sign that the dam is beginning to break in his favor?
Yeah, I think at that point, then you're going to see whatever's needed, the 6 or 7, 8 more that's needed to suddenly come forward and say, well, this is what I need.
Yeah. The question is that even going to happen? I mean, right now there's no indication.
They thought it was today, but it doesn't look like it now. Then the other question is, are they going to vote past the one vote or going to adjourn? Is there enough votes for a motion to adjourn?
And do we have any idea? Or were they adjourned until Tuesday?
Have we heard from our ACLJ action people, or are we hearing anything on the news? No one knows?
Well, it's all just it'd be a vote. I mean, and it comes down to the Democrats, whether they want to stay all weekend and some of those Republicans.
They might. This is good for them.
Yeah.
Visually. All right, Rick, we appreciate it. We'll take your calls when we come back. 1-800-684-3110. Your reaction to Chaos Week 1. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ on so many issues, including the life issue. We've got information out today on our emails. We encourage you, if you're not getting the emails, to sign up for those at aclj.org. But we've got a lot of pro-life activity going on that we've written about today. aclj.org.
So we are awaiting the first of the now 11th vote.
Yeah, this is number 12 right
number
now.
Number 12 while we're live. This is the fourth day. Questions remain about, again, will there be any shifts in voting? Will they continue voting all day, or will they adjourn after this vote and then go into basically negotiations through possibly as long as Tuesday until we'd start doing this again? Or is this going to go until 8 or 9 o'clock again tonight and then 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock tomorrow?
They adjourn and then... They can be in session tomorrow, too. Now, Kevin McCarthy wants it pulled out for a few days.
Yes.
Trying to get this figured out.
Yeah. So that's his goal.
If I'm the Democrats, I don't do it.
Yes, unless you've got too many who have got too many engagements. They just literally have to get home.
We're going to take calls. Our phone lines are jamming up. 1-800-684-3110. Who do we have next?
Yeah, let's go right to the phones. We'll go to Bill in Wyoming Online 1. It's an interesting call. Hey, Bill.
Hi, thanks. Appreciate your tolerance for my calling so much. But I've been praying for unity and cohesiveness in the leadership because I feel two things. Number one, that from what I heard, it may be wrong, that somebody offered the deal of having one person call for the Speaker of the House to be removed.
Yes.
Instead of five, which to me, somebody like that, the speaker brings up something that the person doesn't like, he's going to call for removal of speaker, and bingo, there's going to be chaos right there. Number two, the fact that if they get one person up there to finally have the speaker, they're only going to have 1 year, as far as I'm concerned, to do their job, because as the way I see it, next year they're going to be working on seeing about getting reelected.
You're right. I mean, every day that goes by is another day you're not governing. That's number one. Number two, you're also right that, you know, this time next year they're really into their races for office, which is understandable because that's what they do. Number three, and in my view, Jordan, you know this very, very well. The problem that you have right now is nothing is getting done substantively. No committees are formed. No committees are chaired. No committees are
meeting. I'm sure they have technically, like we know Jim Jordan would be the Judiciary Committee chair. So he probably has his staff in mind.
Mm-hmm.
But that staff is not working.
You know, next week they don't get paid.
Yeah.
The staff
on the 13th. And the members.
The members do get paid.
I think they do. No, I think that they can lose their payment and their health care.
I think the members, I thought the members get the pay.
They're not sworn in.
The staff doesn't. I thought the staff didn't. I'm not sure. But the staff does not for sure.
Yeah, they start losing health care.
So they're going to, James Clyburn is putting up Hakeem Jeffries again. He will get 212 votes.
Yeah.
Will Kevin McCarthy get 212 votes? Because he's not gotten that so far. He's gotten 202.
The question is, does he get 205 today? I mean.
If there's any movement, in other words.
Is there any movement at all? And if there is, you know, I don't know if three is going to be a dam breaker, but I think if it's 6 or 7, but the report out was the call last night turned chaotic amongst Republicans.
Yeah.
And what they thought they had a deal, I think when Sean Hannity was on air still, so that was at nine o'clock Eastern time. The report out was they had a deal.
Yeah, CNN was reporting that too, but they
then they got on a phone call to finalize it,
and it fell apart.
By this morning,
yep,
no deal.
Let's go right back to the phones. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We've done a lot of calls this week because we want to know what you think. This affects how your life is impacted on this because this is how Congress governs or doesn't. Again, 800-684-3110. Gail's calling from Virginia on line 3. Hi, Gail.
Hi, how are you? Okay, I absolutely am against McCarthy. I know that he is corrupt. I know this bill that was passed is not going to where they say it's going. I know that the Ukraine war is not what they're telling us it was. And this was a deep state bribe and bonus bill.
Okay, so let me ask you, I'm not going to disagree with you on a lot of the stuff that was in that bill, which, by the way, Gail, I'm like you, I have no idea. I don't think any of us still know what's in it. I mean, it was, the amount of money was breathtaking. But you make a strong statement when you said, you know, Kevin McCarthy is corrupt. Exactly what do you mean by that?
Well, basically, I'm a remnant. God called me 5 years ago.
I understand, but you just accused a member of Congress of being corrupt. So that's a pretty strong accusation. So what is it that you're saying? Because we want to talk these things out. Why do you think he's corrupt?
Absolutely, because he keeps going behind our back, and he keeps signing with, he's doing things that he's telling us he's not doing.
Like?
He's
talking about, give me a for instance.
He is covering, he tore down Madison Cawthorn because he was exposing things that was going on.
No, he didn't tear down Madison Cawthorn, the former congressman. He did a pretty good job on himself. So I wouldn't blame that on Kevin McCarthy. It's like, I find it ironic. And Gail, I appreciate you calling, but I find it ironic that our new congressman from Tennessee is adamantly against Kevin McCarthy, but he wasn't adamantly against Kevin McCarthy when he came into Tennessee to his district to raise money for his campaign.
And gave him a speaker's gavel.
And gave him the speaker's gavel. The congressman did as a present.
Andy Ogles.
Voted for.
Yes, and again, a brand new congressman, so he was not... Again, I was a mayor to Congress, and now he's part of the someone convinced him to join that group of 20. But yeah, there's all these pictures all over the place with him. I mean, he was happy to be taking that money.
You know, when people say, oh, he's corrupt or he's this, people better be specific here.
It was himself. It was all the stuff that came out about him. I mean, opposition research comes out about you when you run for office.
Yeah.
And I don't think that was necessarily Kevin McCarthy. I don't think he loved Madison Cawthorn, but they had, you know, again,
it wasn't behind the scenes. You lost the seat. I don't think they're glad they lost the Republican seat. Trust me. And by the way, when people say there's too much stuff going on behind the scenes, that's called Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Most of it goes on behind the scenes. All right, let's take Kelly's call out of Arizona. Kelly.
Yeah, hey, Kelly.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for all you do. You guys are a true blessing.
Thanks.
I just wanted to say I hope this is such a great turning point for America because what I see that's going on, this is very much needed. We want to make sure that there's a moral compass that all of these representatives have. And because we send them to Washington to do our job, it's almost like they're supposed to send a morality clause for us so that we know that they're going to stay on the right track. So I love this process. I hope that everybody, because you know, whenever you're working with someone close day in and day out, you know their character. So I don't know McCarthy personally, never met him. We'll never meet him probably, but I have someone from Arizona that's standing up for me that gets to work with him and knows whether he has that good moral compass that we send him to do our job for.
Well, look, I mean, Jordan and I have said this, and we do this as a partial disclaimer here. We represent and have represented the Supreme Court of the United States, almost everybody that's you're reading about, including the people that are for McCarthy, including the ones that have been in Congress that were against McCarthy have been on our briefs. I think of one of our briefs, and I think every one of the opposition votes have signed on to our brief. So it's not like we're picking sides here. It's just Kevin McCarthy has 90% or 85% of the votes.
Yeah.
And so when we say this is good, when it becomes not good is when things like this start leaking in the newspapers or in the daily journals, like the Daily Beast. Republicans and Democrats quietly consider a speaker deal. That would be a disaster. The fact that even could be a headline is also a disaster. So that's how you have to look at this.
Absolutely. We're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Matt Gaetz speaking now. Did we know who he nominated this time? Because he moved away from Donald's to Trump, so we'll see again And we continue to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org.
We've got a brand new email out. If you don't get your email alerts, go to ACLJ.org and sign up for those. And this is on the pro-life issue. We've got a lot of activity there. And your support in 2022 was great. We need your support in 2022. ACLJ.org for that. Back with more in a moment.
Keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Give you a little bit of lay of the land as it stands right now. The 12th speaker vote has not started. Nominations are being made right now. We know that Kevin McCarthy's been nominated. Hakeem Jeffries will be nominated. Do we know who Matt Gaetz is nominated yet this time? Not yet. He's speaking right now. Yesterday it was Donald Trump, so we're not sure yet. The question today is, do any members who have been in the no vote on Kevin McCarthy on the Republican side shift? Because last night there was breaking news. I tweeted out that it was reported a deal had come.
Explain to everybody when they say a deal, what does that mean?
That, like, they had put down into writing these concessions that we keep talking about, mm-hmm. the motion to vacate, the how we vote, committee chairs, committee positions, who gets on what, that had actually been formalized. But then there was a phone call after that with all the Republicans, and it turned chaotic.
Right.
And then this morning, breaking news, just before they got to the floor, and I think that's probably put out by the McCarthy people, is we did not come to any kind of final deal. So I would not expect right now any vote changes.
I think that's right.
But we will see soon if there's any change at all.
Let me go ahead and take Ann's call. Let's go ahead and take Ann's call on line one, because it's a really good question, and this will give us a chance to explain some of what's really going on. Ann, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for everything you do.
Sure.
Okay, my question is, if any American citizen over a certain age can be nominated and voted in as speaker, what about asking a semi-retired Republican that is respected by both sides, like Newt Gingrich or Mike Huckabee or Ben Carson, to step in and take the speaker's role?
Okay, so you're right that you don't have to be a member of Congress to do this. You could be it could be Ben Carson, Mike Huckabee, Newt Gingrich. But let me tell you, Ann, and the reason I was glad to take your call, it's really not about the person. Because those 20 aren't going to want Mike Huckabee or Newt Gingrich or Ben Carson if they don't agree to their demands. And we're trying to tell you what the demands are. And so far, the demands have laid out there. We've laid them out for you, what they've conceded. There is nothing else that Kevin McCarthy can do, in my view, as a lawyer, a constitutional lawyer, someone that understands separation of powers and how Congress operates, who has been on the floor of the United States Senate, that if he gives any more authority away, he will not be a Speaker of the House, and nor will any of the other names being circulated. So, Ann, it's not so much Mike Huckabee, Newt Gingrich, Ben Carson, all good people.
Yeah.
It's, can they give away any more? And there's no more to give. And some of the requests that are coming that I do know of, I'm not going on those today and discussing those today, they're just outrageous.
So now we have interesting enough, too. There was a walkout during Matt Gaetz's speech. I don't know who walked out. I don't know what he said to cause the walkout, but I'm watching the
TV. Are we
monitoring it? Where ACLJ Action is monitoring. We'll have it soon.
Okay.
And then he nominated Jim Jordan. Which we know.
Jim Jordan does not want it.
Does not want it. Now, Lauren Boebert is going to nominate someone else, which shows you that group of 20.
But this is chaos. This is chaos.
Well, the rebels.
The rebels are chaos.
The rebels don't have a candidate.
No.
They have no one they can agree on to support for speech.
Folks, you know, if you're watching on social media, if you're watching on Truth Social, not Truth Social, Rumble, which I guess if you are watching Truth Social, you're watching on Rumble because that's the way that works. Hit the plus sign so we can share this with more people. Share it on Facebook as well. You know how to do that. Swipe over. Same thing on YouTube. We've opened up some phone lines because we're taking calls aggressively here. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. 3110. You're not getting this kind of analysis anyplace else. We've got lawyers and legislative affairs people working it right now to give you the most up-to-date and current information. Let me also tell you this. Support the work of the ACLJ as you did in 22. Do it in 23. Because we've got a big fight on the pro-life issue. I think we're going to see more victories, but that's where you come in. Go to ACLJ.org, make an online donation, support the work. We encourage you to do that. And we're going to be back with more, including your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
All right, welcome back to Secular. So the votes are beginning now.
Now, you have worked on presidential campaigns.
Yep.
You have worked on congressional campaigns. You've worked on senatorial campaigns. You have worked Capitol Hill since you were basically 17 years old.
Yeah.
Okay? You're not 17 anymore. No. Have you ever seen anything like this?
No. Okay. This now is something that hasn't happened in more than 100 years.
Okay. I have been doing this since the 1980s, over 40 years. I've never seen it either. And here's what's happening. We had some hits in the midterm elections because of chaos candidates.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, this is looking like chaos governance. And that's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, it's not so much. I would not mind if this was all sorted out by this group of 20. And maybe they had to go through a few rounds of votes to get to some of these changes that I think are good. But at this point, like you said, if you got your changes, and there's really only four who have said they just will never vote for Kevin McCarthy, fine. What about these other 15? What are they doing? Why are they still voting no?
Well, Chip Roy supposedly was brokering a deal yesterday. And folks, that's what happens on this. This is all about, it's not so much the person, understand this. It's brokering changes in the rules. Some of them I think are great. You know, 72 hours before you sign a $1 trillion bill, good idea, okay? Yep. I mean, I think those are good. Reducing the threshold on the speaker, his removal to that number of five, to one, I think really... It puts the governance in danger, but okay, you could live with that. The problem is what else is left to do? And also, the Democrats, don't kid yourself for a minute. They love this. They love this headline, okay? Quietly considering a speaker deal, Democrats and Republicans. This is what they love. They said, we told you these people were chaotic. They kept the Senate. We barely get the House, and this is what we've got, and we don't have a speaker. So we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. But this is going to start having real consequences next week. You can get through this weekend, I think. But my goodness, are we not going to be... I mean, we know that a lot of payroll stops next Friday, right? A lot of payroll stops next Friday. We don't know if it's the members themselves, but their staffs don't. So this has got real consequences real soon. Real soon.
Yes. I mean, that's why I think, again, you've got maybe this weekend...
Maybe
Monday. But then, like, you know, the president's going to go to the border. He's going to announce all the serious border security initiatives. And yep. We're still going to be fighting over, does Matt Gaetz get to pick who gets to be on the Rules Committee? I mean, the thing is, you may love Matt Gaetz, but he doesn't have that kind of power.
Nor should he.
No.
He's not in leadership. And
he hasn't built a strong enough group. He's not
correct.
The head of the RSC. He's not the head of the Freedom Caucus.
Most of the Freedom Caucus people are with Kevin McCarthy.
Yes, and most of the RSC.
So, I mean, this is, again, this is where you got to go and deal with the issues. So we had a case at the Supreme Court of the United States, have a case, that was, and this is interesting, well, we got a breaking news thing here.
So we got two flips to Kevin McCarthy.
This is a big deal.
Yes. So who went to Kevin? Bishop?
Who else, Will?
Okay, I didn't even remember Bishop. I know Breach, and I don't remember even seeing that name. But so there's two. So he has gained two.
Okay, that listen. It doesn't sound like a lot. It's a lot.
I mean, the vote's just early right now.
It's a movement. So the vote's early. We are watching this for you.
He hasn't yet lost. Usually by now he'd already had lost.
Yeah, they would say not likely to carry 12 votes.
Five.
Let me give a Supreme Court update quickly. We have this religious liberty case out of Florida that affects the entire country. And I will tell you this right now that it was supposed to be in conference today, which means the Supreme Court certiorari conference is today. The case was pulled earlier in the week. which is, it usually means that it's getting some attention. It's just not going to be ruled on. So we're not going to have an answer to that one today. They'll reschedule it, and we'll see what it does. Let's go ahead and take a call, 800-684-3110. Who's next?
Yeah, Julie in California online, too. Hey, Julie.
Hi, Jordan and Jay. Yep. I have a question and a comment. My question is, allowing just one member of the House to vote to oust the Speaker at any time, will that be abused and stop all congressional action in the future?
It was the rule for 100 years. And it was actually, Paul Ryan had done some, Nancy Pelosi, then it took it to 50%. It does not mean that one person in the House can remove the Speaker. It means that one person can call on a vote to remove the Speaker, and then there has to be a majority to remove. So I do think one is pretty low number, but the thinking there is that it's low because most people are unwilling to jump, take that. They're scared
right,
of taking on the Speaker. So if you get one person who's willing to get out there. So again, I don't think it's that destructive. Have we gained another?
Representative Cloud. Hello?
So we've gained. So Kevin McCarthy's now up to three.
Well, this is positive.
We're seeing change. For him.
Yes.
This allows, I think, already now Kevin McCarthy to stay in it. And whether it finishes today or next week, it's also probably a good sign that if he wants the adjournment,
yeah,
he probably could get the votes to adjourn, which is interesting. We'll watch that closely. But if he can get enough votes, what is he, a couple more? He could probably get the adjournment with some Democrats. But we will watch it closely. Continue to take your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Sharon in California, online one. Hey, Sharon.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say that in spite of what this looks like, it might not be a bad thing. Because when you think about how our founding documents came into being, Benjamin Franklin shut the door of the chambers and said, nobody eats until this thing gets resolved. And they came up with our Constitution and some great documents. So instead of worrying about optics, let's worry about the final result. Because we can't keep voting for the same people and expect different results.
Well, I think, listen, it's not bad to have a lot of this done. But again, most of this should be done behind closed doors because this should be done like amongst friends. It's fine to have some of this done out, but you know, we're only getting a hint of what's actually being done behind closed doors. We're only getting the final points. I mean, so all of these members are negotiating behind the scenes. I think if you're a Republican, what you want is, okay, you might love the debate, and listen, this might have led to some good rule changes, but ultimately, you have to get on with it. This is what I've said. If this can come to a close in the next few days,
fine.
I think people forget this ever happened.
Yes.
But if you get into 2 weeks plus, people will not forget, and they will not forget when they vote in a year and a half.
So here's the question. He's got three votes that have shifted so far. Voting's still going on. So we'll see. You know, we're going to know real soon. If he gets up, so that would put him from 202 to 205. He still has 15 votes to get. But then if you get a big movement like Chip Roy, and he brings this, he said yesterday, alluded to.
He got two more flips.
Two more just now?
So now he's up to, he got five flips.
Okay, so if you're Kevin McCarthy, you keep the votes going. You want another round, maybe. Maybe not.
Or maybe you want to just take your victories that you've seen. Oh, I think there's been a six. I think Donald's. No.
Donald's the fifth is what?
Oh, Donald's was the fifth? Okay, so I'm just seeing a little delayed on. So he was probably nominated for it. Yep. He's now flipped, so he's left. So the rebel group is crumbling.
Yes. So people need to understand that. All right, let's go ahead and take Jeff's call out of Virginia. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Jeff, go ahead.
All right. Are we on?
Yes.
Okay, good. I have to say, I know it's embarrassing. I know it's troublesome, and it's in public, and I agree with what you guys say about this should have all been figured out in advance and behind closed doors. But here we are. This is transparency at its absolute finest. And the biggest thing we got to avoid is what exactly some of the fellas said. Doing business as usual means the liberals win, period. There is no such thing as bipartisanship. Bipartisanship means conceding to liberalism. if we really want to make the changes, if we're going to take those gentlemen that, and the ladies that were nominated and elected by the populace to make changes,
yes,
the time to do it's now. The rubber doesn't hit the road until the 20th. Let's get this stuff done, no matter how painful, no matter how embarrassing.
The rubber hit the road on January 3rd.
Well, the rubber's going to really hit the road on the 20th, if I'm correct. If I'm wrong, I take it back. But nonetheless,
Congress was supposed to be January 3rd is when the new Congress came in. So let me just put this out.
That's a presidential inauguration.
That's a presidential inauguration you're talking about. That has nothing to do with congressional calendars and what is the current Congress. That's completely wrong. That's one. Number two, Jeff, you say it's time for McCarthy to remove himself. Meanwhile, they've got how many peeled off today so far? Three or four? Five so far today have peeled off for McCarthy. And don't forget, Kevin McCarthy has now 207 votes of the Republicans in the House of Representatives. Okay? Unfortunately, that's the second highest, because you know who's got the highest votes in the House of Representatives? Hakeem Jeffries from Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah.
He still does. Maybe that'll change today, but it's moving in that direction. So that's why we want to keep educating you on what the process is. This is about rules, folks. It's not about Kevin McCarthy, the person. And there's nothing else for him, in my view, to give up.
No. No, I mean,
that's the view I'm taking.
Everything has been put.
Some of the things they got are great.
Yeah, I do too. I think that a lot of that could have been done in 2 days.
Yeah, or it could have been done for 2 months ago.
And maybe it will be. Maybe this will be a 3-4 day.
You know, you looked at Matt Gaetz and Lauren Boebert just there on air.
They can kind of sense that.
They could sense where it's going. You could tell in that picture they know where this is going.
Welcome back to St. Hugh. We're still monitoring any changes yet in votes. Not yet. So, okay. But we do have, just so if you're just joining us, for the first time in 12 rounds of voting, Kevin McCarthy has gained votes. So he's gaining votes from the group of 20. So he's gained five. One of those was the person they were putting forward a lot, Byron Donalds out of Florida. So that was the fifth. There could be more. They're not even halfway through the vote yet. But so we're monitoring that closely. We've got a Secular Brothers podcast. Logan's going to be back in the studio. And so...
a lot of people watching that yesterday.
Yeah, so we'll get a better idea, too. We'll know the end of this vote. Matt Gaetz just walked out. Maybe he's very unhappy.
Is he back again or just walked out again?
No, he just walked out.
Well, he knows what's happening. Let's be honest. And honesty is... votes are starting to peel away. We don't know if those are Chip Roy's people or not yet, or do we? They are?
Those are the Chip Roy block.
So that was the end of, we'll see how many of those. So if he brings his 10 in, this will be interesting. That would leave after the 12th round, Kevin McCarthy tied with Hakeem Jeffries. Here's my prediction. As soon as Kevin McCarthy goes ahead of Hakeem Jeffries, the floodgate opens.
Yeah.
And then this was a good exercise. They got some stuff. Daniel's calling from California on line 4. Daniel, you're on the air, and we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Daniel, go ahead.
Hello, I'm Daniel. I'm calling from Riverside County, California.
Yes.
I have an opinion. First, I want to thank you guys for your work.
Thanks.
I've been a supporter since 2016.
Great.
Thank you.
And because of your information, you guys have helped a lot of people out here in Southern California change their vote from Democrat to Republican. My opinion is this. Maybe these 20 holdouts, these so-called rebels, are just doing this just to show their constituents that they are listening to them. And they're willing to make changes and do different things to make a change in the swamp, especially after Tumulty's midterm election, just like we had right now.
I'd say the Chip Roy group is that.
Yes, I think that is the Chip Roy group, who's a friend of our broadcast.
They get elected because they are willing to take on the authority when they think the authority needs to get their act back together or make a change in policy or procedure. And I think that's the group right now that we see shifting. I think it'll be interesting. I probably could predict that, but you would assume Chip Roy, once they get to the R's, is going to be in this group. Yeah. But I think this number is going to go up for Kevin.
Yeah, I really think when it gets to...
Technically, he's lost it. I mean... there haven't been enough flips. Six voted.
No.
No, but I mean.
So that means he's not going to carry this round, but he's clearly had a vote shift. So the question's going to be on the vote shift, folks, and this is what's so important here.
I mean, when you get down to six or seven rebels.
The six or seven members of Congress cannot hold up the works of the entire United States government
in the House of Representatives. They'll divide and conquer them very quickly.
And that's why if Matt Gaetz stormed off.
He did.
That was what that was. You know that's what it was about. All right, we're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Bill's calling Indiana, line one. Bill, go ahead.
Yes. Thank you for all the work that you do. Yes. And we listen to you almost daily. So beginning of the week, McCarthy had 217. So what happened between now and Friday that he's got to fight again to get back up?
So that was the reporting that he had maybe 217 or the 218 that he was needed. But that did not materialize on the first vote. He's never gotten above, was it 201?
201. 202.
202.
Yeah, so Bill, he's had his highest has been 202.
And this will be his highest.
So he is second right now to Hakeem Jeffries from Brooklyn, New York, the Democrat, who in the House of Representatives, everybody gets to vote for Speaker. They've all voted for Hakeem Jeffries.
All the Democrats, 212.
So he's got 212. Technically, McCarthy is behind him. Now, if these votes continue to shift as they are starting to today, it will be interesting that if in the next round, if there is a next round today, does or at the end of today, does he get to, or the end of this round, does he get to 212? Because if all, or 213. Once he surpasses Hakeem Jeffries, I think it's a atmospheric tiebreaker. Well, it legally doesn't make any significance.
You divide and conquer the five.
Well, that's what's already happening.
You already pitched them against each other. Yes. And, I mean, I know it sounds nasty.
I mean, are
it's
the final holdouts going to be Lauren Boebert and Matt Gaetz?
Well, I think they'll never vote for him. But let's say, did Bishop say he was never going to vote for him? And he did.
Yeah.
He kind of hedged. So he did.
He hedged a little bit. Okay.
So yeah, I mean, he can lose four.
Yeah.
I think he probably will not get Boebert or Gaetz, but okay. If that's what you didn't get out of everybody, it's not like we wouldn't take them on our brief and support their, you know,
of course,
their policies. But again, their effort appears to be falling apart as we speak.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say, I'm looking at some stuff up, but it's fair to say that as this is crumbling, as votes peel off and
I think
end
by
up
the
going to Kevin,
Brothers podcast, we'll really know the full.
You're gonna, yes, by the time you do your podcast this afternoon, you're going to have a better sense of where this is going.
Are they going to vote again, or did they adjourn? Yeah. And how many did he get on this vote? We're not going to know that in the next, unfortunately, 26.
How do you think this ends up affecting? Let's assume Kevin McCarthy does pull it out, which it looks like if this continues to happen, he does. How does this affect his governance?
I think at the end of the day,
people forget.
Yes.
Okay. He's still the Speaker of the House.
And he becomes the Speaker of the House. So when
third in line.
The Speaker of the House. You come. I mean, I don't know how many people have been to that office, spent time there. It is impressive.
Oh, it may be the most impressive office of any office in Washington, D.C., including the Oval Office.
Yeah, because of the view of the whole National Mall.
Yeah.
And the staff that you get. I mean, the ability. And it's a unique role because you're not going to be in the committees hashing it out and asking questions.
Right.
You're working the floor. You're working votes. You're working legislation. And again, I think, that's why it's unique people to fill those roles. Like I said, usually it's a job by the end of it that people are all mad at you.
Yeah, it's you
make
friends.
You can't keep this group that's of 218 people.
Well, that's why I think Jim Jordan would like to stay. I don't blame him. He wants to stay as
a popular figure.
Yeah, a popular figure. How do you do that? You chair the Judiciary Committee. That's how, which he'll be great at, by the way. And we'll look forward to working with him once he gets sworn in and the whole thing starts. But first, they got to get sworn in. And it has to start. That's the key for all of the success. Swear them in and get it started. But you got to get them to 218 first.
Yeah. So, I think we're watching it close. We'll see if there's any more switches the last couple minutes of the broadcast.
You want to talk about this immigration move? Because the White House is about to make a move here.
Yeah, I think it's important. And I think, if they...
It's going to be a weird situation, folks, because it's some restrictions that we like. And gives enforcement mechanisms that we like. It's kind of taking the Title 42 and applying it to Title 8. And that sounds confusing, but Title 42 was the temporary measure for COVID. And they said, you know, basically, if you get in the United States, you're an unlawful entrant, we deport you back. And basically what we understand, we haven't seen the document yet. What President Biden is proposing is basically the Title 42 mechanism in Title 8 as part of the permanent ongoing work. Now, what's interesting about that is the groups on the left are going to complain about that, and they are threatening to file a lawsuit. So you want to hear the irony? But we would do this, folks. If we think the legislation that President Biden put forward is correct and is protecting our border, and he gets sued, you know what we're going to do? We would defend his administration on that issue if we think they got it right.
Yeah, if we think they got it right. Finally see
I want to see the actual
package.
Document.
I also want to update you quickly on ACLJ and our work in Pakistan.
Yes.
This is up at aclj.org. There's a case there where a Christian shop owner who made like snacks and food was shot by Muslim men because they didn't think it was fresh enough. And he's actually famous for what he makes and paralyzed. Not only did we get them imprisoned, which they should be, but we actually are helping his, because he's paralyzed and lost movement of his one arm and both legs. We were able to use our resources to help a medical procedure, a surgery, so he now has use of both arms.
That's great.
And that's because of your support of the ACLJ. So that family, I know if they could, would be thanking all of you right now. Looks like there might have been another switch.
Yep. CNN is reporting Kevin McCarthy has gained support in the 12th round of
another
voting.
Switch.
Yep. So there you go. All right. More on the Secular Brothers Luda podcast.
That's big.